Dante a lot of challenges as well as opportunities to set his poem in 1300 and yet want to include everything that he knows and understands and experiences up to the second his pen is touching the old parchment.
Yeah. Notice also, by the way, that setting the poem in 1300 gives us a kind of succinct way of talking about who gets to be in the afterlife. As Bill said, your card, your ID, all it has to read is dead by 1300. But of course, that means that people who died in 1299 could be there, but also people who lived in very ancient times. Dante also does not make a distinction between what we would say as real people and mythical people, so that folks who actually lived, who are important historical figures, either internationally or locally, are there, but folks who are also characters in works of literature show up as well. Dante's first guide, of course, is the poet Virgil, about whom we'll say a bit more later. But we not only have Virgil as Dante's guide, we also have characters who appear in Virgil's poem as characters in the afterlife. It would be roughly as though Shakespeare and Hamlet could get together and talk to each other. They occupy the same plane of reality. Notice also, of course, by setting it in 1300 in the afterlife, it means that people who lived very widely scattered space and time, okay? People who lived Julius Caesar's time, people who lived in the time of Christ, people who lived with Charlemagne, and people who lived in Dante's own time can all be there together conversing with Dante the pilgrim as he goes through. So that just simply as an opportunity for being spectacularly imaginative in terms of the number of different characters that he meets, the absolute profusion of characters that he meets, this is a wonderful device and one that he exploits to the max.
If we can now, I'd like to turn to say a little bit about the city of Florence and a little bit more about this complex Florentine politics in Dante's day, because the political situation is so woven into the fabric of the poem that it's difficult to go more than a few lines, and perhaps in a couple occasions a few cantos, without running into the big dates, the big events, the big people, the big issues, the parties that exist in Florence. First of all, it's perhaps worth saying that Florence was a city in Dante's time of close to 100,000 people, packed very tightly together inside city walls. We sometimes forget that city walls were perhaps the biggest single item of defense budget of a nation. And after all, Florence was an independent nation within Italy, the nation of Italy not existing until the 19th century. And therefore, you've got to keep the city as small as possible, because every meter of wall takes so much money to build and so much money to maintain and so much money to guard. And one of the things that one immediately appreciates if one goes to a more or less preserved medieval city today in Europe is how tightly things are packed together. That there are 100,000 people behind the city walls of Florence, and it's not a very big place geographically. And therefore, as you can imagine, if you add that closeness of space together to the fact that Florence is made up of what we would think of as socially diverse populations, that is to say, there are nobles from the great feudal families of earlier medieval Italy that have come to live inside the walls. There are what those people would think of as nouveau riche, people of no breeding who have made a lot of money in various mercantile activities, and of course, a lot of poor people who are more or less anonymous for us today. When you take that social diversity and pack them very closely together, several things are going to happen. One is, it's a very public kind of existence. People know a lot about other people. They know what they talk about at night in their homes because they can hear through the open windows. They know what they wear, not only from seeing them on the streets, but seeing their laundry hanging out in the streets, as you would today see in Florence or other cities like that. That it's a very public place. There's very little privacy by our standard. And secondly, there were a lot of personal and neighborhood rivalries, families that didn't like each other. A lot of times families didn't know why they didn't like each other. It might have been because their great-great-grandfather sparred over something, or someone three generations ago threw garbage in front of somebody else's house. It really was very often trivial things like that that began generation after generation of feuding and fighting. So before we talk anything about Florence's place in the world and how Florence fits